IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details. And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa idh qala Ibrahim Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyil mauta qala awalam tu'min qala bala walakin liyatma'inna qalbi قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. And when Abraham said,
My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take four of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by affront, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Hold rallies across the world to mark International Quds Day in solidarity with the Palestinian people. Leader of Lebanon's resistance movement, Hezbollah, says Israel has failed to achieve any of its goals on the battlefield in Gaza. The Islamic resistance in Iraq carries out yet another operation against Israel's oil refineries in the occupied port city of Haifa in solidarity with Palestinians. And now people across the world have taken to the streets to mark International Quds Day as Israel continues with its genocidal war in the Gaza Strip.
The International Quds Day this year comes following Israel's airstrike on the consular section of Iran's embassy in Damascus that killed seven Iranian military officers. This latest Israeli attack, together with over 6 months of regime's genocide in Gaza, prompted thousands of Iranians to pour into the streets across the country to mark Quds Day.
Recently, there was an incident in which we were all heartbroken and devastated as two of the top Iranian generals were killed and our country's embassy was air targeted. This act was against international and human rights law. As an Iranian and a Jew, we condemn this issue.
Quds Day is commemorated all over the world on the last Friday of Ramadan. It is a day of international solidarity with the Palestinian people. Just like previous years, the Iranian Jew community also joined other protesters to express their support for Palestinians in Gaza. This community believes that the United Nations and the Western countries have been totally inactive over the ongoing genocide in the Gaza Strip.
We are not anti-Semites, but we are anti-crime, we are anti-killing, and in one word, we are anti-Zionist. And we live in peace with each other in Iran, with Jews, but we don't have any problem with Jews. We have problem with genocide, with killing, with Zionists.
We send a message to all young and free people around the world that humanity is in danger today. Hear our voice, our belief and our goal, down with Israel.
This year, the International Quds Day comes amid the ongoing Israeli onslaught on Gaza. Israel has cut off fuel, electricity, food and water to Palestinians living in the besieged territory.
Iranians once again resonated voices of solidarity with Palestinians on International Quds Day and also strongly condemned the recent criminal acts of the Israeli regime leading to the martyrdom of two senior Iranian military personnel. When it comes to violation of human rights, nobody can stay silent. Fateh Masumi, Tehran.
With a military parade, Hezbollah marked International Quds Day in Lebanon, where hundreds of Lebanese and Palestinians raised their fists in a show of support for the resistance group and its leader. Hezbollah Secretary General underscored the significance of the Lebanese front and raised his voice in response to the Israeli threat, saying the resistance in Lebanon is fully prepared for any war.
The resistance in Lebanon does not fear war. It has managed battle in the last 6 months with a clear strategy and a vision which is complementary to the ongoing battle in the region. The resistance has managed the battle in a manner that would lead to victory while protecting Lebanon. However, it is fully prepared morally, mentally, and militarily for any war which the enemy would regret having launched against Lebanon.
Hezbollah's leader downplayed the ability of the Israeli regime to launch a full-scale war on Lebanon with the fact that it is extremely exhausted and has achieved none of its declared objectives, except for the killing of innocent women and children. And despite the sacrifices, he said, the alliance of resistance is on the path to a historic and major victory.
Based on logic and political, military, diplomatic, regional, international and economic information, we are able to see very clearly what the leader of the Iranian revolution had said during the first days of the war, that Israel will be defeated and that Gaza will be victorious, and Netanyahu will have no choice but to stop the war, which will be a historic and major victory for the resistance in the region.
A significant part of the speech touched upon the Iranian role in supporting the resistance factions and the oppressed people of the region. It also confirmed that the Iranian response to the Israeli attack on the consular section of the Iranian embassy in Damascus will certainly come, and that everyone needs to be ready for what may lie ahead after this retaliation.
We are very close to a victory since the blood that has been shed in Gaza and Lebanon and from all our brothers will be fruitful. This is why this year is exceptional and it has a very positive impact on our hearts and has given us hope that a big victory is possible.
It's not just the duty of Muslims to take part in Al Quds Day, but also as human beings all over the world, since it proves their humanity.
We are here not to support just Gaza, we are supporting all Palestine, the resistance in all region. We'll elaborate Palestine and Al-Quds, and we will win, inshallah.
Hezbollah's leader also noted that Al-Aqsa flood has put Israel's existence in danger and exposed its vulnerabilities, and those who should be ashamed are the ones who have normalized ties with Israel.
Al-Quds Day this year is distinct on all levels. Loud actions have been made, not only in support of the Palestinian people, but in establishing what could turn into a tangible plan to end the occupation of the Holy Land. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
The annual Quds Day procession offers people a timely reminder of their responsibility towards the oppressed. It brings together millions of voices in unison as they redirect their focus on the last brutal Western colonial project still in existence.
What South Africa has done over the last, over the last few months has created more visibility, so people that were not aware of exactly what was taking place in Palestine are now aware and they are calling it a genocide. I think previously, unfortunately, it was seen very much as maybe a Muslim issue in South Africa. But every march that I come to, we're seeing just different walks of life coming together. So that is hope that at least the idea of what is taking place is spreading.
While people often try to liken the Zionist regime to apartheid South Africa, those who participated in this country's liberation fight contend that Israel is a more sinister and perfected form of apartheid. It is for that reason that among the protesters here are those whose roots trace back to this country's liberation struggle.
There is no way that we can justify what Israel is doing. To us, Israel is the same. with the former apartheid and even the present remnants of apartheid. Israel are the people whose hands are full of the blood of the martyrs. That we cannot be, that cannot be justified, and we cannot be mum in that situation.
And as Israel's aggression only intensifies, new voices are emerging. Those who have for the first time participated in the Quds Day march and say they will keep alive the struggle for Palestinian liberation.
As youth at the moment, we might feel the only thing we can do is post on our social media. That bit helps. Just every time posting, that puts the pressure on the people to make certain decisions, because the pressure comes on from the country. And after all, we as a youth are the future of the country, of our world. We're going to be the future leaders. We're going to be the ones that's going to be there one day when Palestine is free. It's not going to be the old people. It's going to be us, the youngsters, the youth. We're going to see the freedom of Palestine one day.
While South Africa has already taken tangible steps to try to hold Israel to account, for example, with its case at the International Court of Justice, South Africans believe that the government can do more, for example, by implementing sanctions against the Zionist entity. They also want the South African government to prosecute those South African Zionists who have gone over to fight in the Israeli occupation force. Hassan Sirip, Cape Town.
As hundreds of thousands of people across the world have staged rallies to mark the International Quds Day, raising the voice against the Israeli regime, Rome's Imam Mahdi Islamic Cultural Center held a conference on the ongoing Israeli war of genocide in Gaza on the last Friday of Ramadan. The initiative was attended by Iran's ambassador to Italy, Mohammad Reza Saburi, and experts of the Palestinian cause. The Iranian diplomat opened his remarks, arguing that the Imam Khomeini acted as a true visionary leader when he started Quds Day 45 years ago to show solidarity with Palestinian resistance.
A few days ago, I had a meeting with a high-ranking Italian official who expressly told me that we all owe Israel for the Holocaust. I said to him, fine, let's agree on what you just said for a second. I then asked him, why are the Palestinians bearing the brunt of Israel's Holocaust? He remained silent. He simply didn't have an answer.
Iranian Ambassador Saburi also said that Al-Quds Day serves as a poignant reminder of the ongoing struggle for Palestinian liberation in the face of Israeli brutal occupation, and that security in West Asia depends very much on reaching security in Palestine. This year, International Quds Day holds a special significance. As stated by Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian, the event has turned into a symbol of the unity of the entire humanity. After the conference, an Iranian meal was served at the Imam Mahdi Center. A rally to mark Quds Day will be held in Italy's northern city of Genoa on Saturday. Max Civili, Rome.
Chief Commander of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps says that Palestinians in Gaza will continue their resistance until they achieve ultimate victory.
The message of Palestinians in Gaza is this. We have no problem to continue this resistance and continue fighting. Muslims should remain strong and united. We will defeat and bury the Israeli regime in Gaza.
Hossein Salami said Israel has no choice but to surrender and leave Gaza. He said the regime suffered heavy political and economic blows, and the collapse of the Israeli regime is near. The IRGC chief also slammed Washington's support for Tel Aviv, including vetoing several Security Council resolutions on a Gaza ceasefire. Regarding recent Israeli attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria, Salami warned that no action will go unanswered. Islamic resistance in Iraq says it's carried out a fresh strike on an Israeli target in occupied Palestinian territories. Iraqi resistance said it launched an operation against oil refineries in the port city of Haifa using drones. Said attack was in response to massacres committed by Israel against Palestinian civilians, including women, children, and the elderly. The group said it will continue these operations as long as the regime continues with its bloodshed in the besieged Gaza Strip. In recent months, the Islamic Resistance, an umbrella group out of Iraq, has conducted a series of attacks against Israeli targets. It's also hit U.S. military bases in both Iraq and neighboring Syria in response for Washington's support for Israel's campaign of genocide. Palestinians are witnessing an endless spiral of death and destruction in Gaza, with Israeli genocide in the besieged territory now in its seventh month. According to Gaza Health Ministry, Israeli's attacks killed 54 Palestinians and injured scores in a matter of the last 24 hours. In latest attacks, the Israeli army carried out heavy artillery shelling of the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza. Israeli fighter jets also completely destroyed a residential building in the Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza. Also to the south, in Rafah, it was also under heavy artillery attack. Nearly 33,100 people, including women and children, have been killed in the besieged enclave since October 7th, along with another 76,000 others injured. The Red Crescent in Palestine says about 1,000 children in Gaza have lost one or both of their legs. Meanwhile, disaster relief organization the World Central Kitchen has called for an independent probe into Israeli killing of its aid workers in Gaza.
We demand the creation of an independent commission to investigate the killings of our WCK colleagues. The Israeli army cannot credibly investigate its own failure in Gaza. It is clear from their preliminary investigation that the Israeli army has deployed deadly force without regard to its own protocols, chain of command, and rules of engagement. The Israeli army's own video fails to show any cause of fire on our personnel convoy, which carried no weapons and posed no threat.
A charity said that without systemic change, more of these attacks are going to occur in the future. It added that the regime's apology serves only as cold comfort for victims' families. The organization also condemned Israeli killing of over 200 humanitarian workers in Gaza and called on the regime to ensure the safety of all civilians in the besieged Palestinian territory. Seven aid workers were killed in an Israeli attack on their vehicles in the central Gaza city of Deir al-Bala. They included Palestinian, UK, Australian, and Polish nationals, as well as a dual U.S.-Canadian citizen. Poland's also demanded a criminal inquiry into the killings and addition of its own prosecutors to the case. That's it for your latest here, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
The whole world is silent towards oppression. Even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
The Limelight.
In the United States, a judge has denied all eight of Hunter Biden's motions to dismiss his tax indictments. The ruling paves the way for a 20th of June trial for President Biden's son, Hunter Biden. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster ABC News has covered this story and tells us more. A judge late on Monday, 1st of April, denied all eight of Hunter Biden's motions to dismiss his nine-count tax indictment in California, paving the way for a 20th of June trial. Hunter Biden, the son of President Joe Biden, had sought dismissal of the case earlier this year, arguing in part that prosecutors succumbed to political pressure in filing charges against him, that an ill-fated immunity agreement struck with prosecutors last summer remained in effect, and that the charges were brought in an improper venue. In an 82-page ruling posted to the case docket late on Monday, 1st of April, Judge Mark Scarsi denied all eight motions by Hunter Biden. We strongly disagree with the court's decision and will continue to vigorously pursue Hunter Biden's challenges to the abnormal way the special counsel handled his investigation and charged this case, Hunter Biden's attorney Abby Lowell said in a statement following the ruling. The younger Biden had argued that the immunity stipulation in a section of the party's ill-fated plea deal from last summer remains in effect. His legal team wrote that the tax charges violate the terms of the diversion agreement and accused prosecutors of attempting to backtrack and renege on the deal. Special counsel David Weiss, in his rebuttal filed last month, slammed Hunter Biden's arguments in court filings as a conspiracy theory, a house of cards, and shape-shifting claims. David Weiss claimed that it was Hunter Biden and not the prosecutors who walked away from negotiations. David Weiss's office proposed changes to the agreements after the 26th of July hearing, where the deal fell apart, he wrote. The defendant rejected these counter-proposals and refused further negotiations, David Weiss wrote. David Weiss made additional rebuttals to many of the other motions to dismiss, which included claims of improper venue and statute of limitations. David Weiss's office charged Hunter Biden in December with 9 felony and misdemeanor charges stemming from his failure to pay a $1.4 million tax charges for 3 years during a time when he was in the throes of addiction. Hunter Biden has pleaded not guilty to all the charges against him. The back taxes and penalties were previously paid in full by a third party, identified by ABC News as Hunter Biden's attorney and confidant, Kevin Morris. The federal judge overseeing this case will hold a hearing on these arguments later on this month. CNN Cable News Network has also covered the same story and tells us more. A federal judge has denied Hunter Biden's attempts to throw out his felony tax indictment, paving the way for a trial in June. The judge, who was skeptical of Hunter Biden's arguments at a hearing last week in Los Angeles, California, rejected 8 motions to dismiss in a sweeping 82-page ruling issued on Monday, 1st of April. President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, has pleaded not guilty to all 9 charges against him. He is accused of repeatedly failing to file and pay his taxes on time and engaging in an illegal tax evasion scheme by filing false tax returns and cooking the books on his company's payroll. In a victory for Special Counsel David Weiss, U.S. District Judge Mark Scarsi rejected Hunter Biden's arguments that the felony indictment was politically motivated. Judge Scarsi said Hunter Biden's lawyers provided virtually no evidence to back their theory that David Weiss's team exhibited anti-Biden bias and that a rigorous standard must be met before an indictment can be thrown out on these grounds. The judge blasted Hunter Biden's lawyers for relying on a hodgepodge of news articles and social media posts to push the theory that David Weiss brought the charges because he caved to pressure from former President Donald Trump and from congressional Republicans, which David Weiss's prosecutors have called a conspiracy theory. The motion is remarkable in that it fails to include a single declaration, exhibit, or request for judicial notice, the judge wrote. Instead, the defendant cites portions of various internet news sources, social media posts, and legal blogs. These citations, however, are not evidence in a court of law. Judge Scarsi also roundly rejected Hunter Biden's assertion that David Weiss was improperly appointed special counsel, writing that Hunter Biden's attorneys offered no convincing reason as to why he shouldn't have been appointed. Hunter Biden's lead attorney, Abby Lowell, said in a statement that the rulings, "We strongly disagree with the court's decision and will continue to vigorously pursue Hunter Biden's challenges to the abnormal way the special counsel handled this investigation and charged this case." As he suggested at last week's hearing, Judge Scarsi also disagreed with Hunter Biden's arguments that the case should be thrown out because of the actions of 2 Internal Revenue Service agents who previously worked on the investigation. Those Internal Revenue Service officials have since become whistleblowers accused prosecutors of going soft on Hunter Biden and were featured at GOP-run congressional hearings. Aside from failing to substantiate his allegations that the IRS agents influenced the prosecutorial decision with anything but speculation, the defendant offers no case in which a court exercised supervisory powers to dismiss an indictment due to conduct that impacts the fundamental decision to prosecute, the judge wrote. The judge concluded the theory lacked merit and that he wouldn't have the power to toss the case even if it did. Judge Scarsi also shut down attempts by Hunter Biden to dismiss some of the lesser charges in the 9-count indictment against him. The judge ruled that the statute of limitations hadn't run out on the misdemeanor charges relating to Hunter Biden's 2016 taxes. He also ruled that there wasn't enough evidence disputing Hunter Biden's California residency to throw out 4 counts over potential jurisdictional problems. Judge Scarsi's findings offer vindication for Special Prosecutor David Weiss, a Republican who was appointed by Donald Trump to his former post as U.S. Attorney in Delaware. David Weiss's prosecutors have defended the integrity and nonpartisan nature of their work and said in court last week that it was insulting to suggest they were taking their cues from Donald Trump or from Republican lawmakers. In a slew of court filings after the tax case was initially brought, defense attorneys for Hunter Biden claimed that Special Prosecutor David Weiss was improperly appointed, alleged that the case is political, and pushed the judge to dismiss the case for conflicting with a plea deal that collapsed over the summer. Special Prosecutor David Weiss ridiculed Hunter Biden's arguments as legally baseless and steeped in a conspiracy theory. As part of his ruling on Monday, 1st of April, Judge Scarsi found that while Hunter Biden and the prosecutors did strike a diversion agreement over the summer in the president's son would avoid tax charges, the agreement and its immunity provisions never went into effect because the line where a probation officer was supposed to sign is blank. The deal that David Weiss and Hunter Biden struck, Judge Scarsi wrote, stipulated a probation officer must sign the paperwork for the agreement to take effect. Nothing in the text of the diversion agreement tethers the very existence of the agreement or any party's acceptance of the agreement to the probation officer's approval, Judge Scarsi wrote. But David Weiss and Hunter Biden made the performance of their obligations contingent upon the event of her signing. What was left, Judge Scarsi wrote, was that Hunter Biden's immunity in its current form was not valid.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
The sovereignty and territorial integrity of member states must be respected in accordance with international law. So says the UN's Assistant Secretary General Khaled Kiari, speaking at a special Security Council meeting when condemning the Israeli attack on an Iranian embassy building in Damascus. This is Gaza Under Attack with me, Amina Taylor, broadcasting from the British capital. Now, let's get caught up with some fresh developments relating to the ongoing genocide on Gaza. Tel Aviv stands accused of stoking an all-out regional war a move that's been condemned at the highest quarters after its attack on a Tehran-linked consular premises in the Syrian capital. The Islamic Republic of Iran says perpetrators and supporters of the terrorist act will be punished. The international outcry and calls for an urgent investigation continue after an Israeli strike killed 7 aid workers delivering food in Gaza, 1 Palestinian and 6 foreign nationals from Australia, Poland and 3 from the United Kingdom and elsewhere died after their marked convoy was attacked by Israeli drones. London summoned Israel's ambassador and demanded an immediate investigation into the deadly attack, with British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak calling the killings appalling. The man-made famine is now taking a firm hold inside Gaza. Fewer agencies are on the ground, with a growing number of charities pausing their work after the latest attack by Tel Aviv, citing safety concerns. The death toll since October last year now tops 33,000 souls, with tens of thousands still unaccounted for, under the rubble or injured. With us for this edition of the program, in studio with me, Alex Ackerman, the political analyst, and Dr. Zakaria Abbas, doctor and international health campaigner, who joins us via Skype from Bangalore in India. Gentlemen, so good of you to be here with us, even under these circumstances. I start with you, Dr. Abbas. Or reflections on the facts, a ceasefire or a pause was called for by the UN Security Council, but we've seen an escalation by Israel, if nothing else. Why is Tel Aviv not being made to comply at this juncture?
Well, 5 months down the lane, and we continue to witness an unbearable human tragedy. From the very own words of the UN chief, it is beyond catastrophic. What we heard last few weeks is US trying to come towards a ceasefire solution, but that was a complete lie. He stressed on the importance of Ramadan, where, you know, so many billions of Muslims, you know, they fast and it is a month of peace, but it's 3 weeks down the lane and we have seen hundreds of people being killed on a daily basis, and the massacre at Al-Shifa Hospital. And this is the same hospital which was attacked first, and Israel denied its involvement. And we've heard reports of sexual harassment and rape, which again, Israel started this entire campaign based on lies, right? And we have so many people, 1.2 million people stuck in Rafah, and today Israel shamelessly still speaks about attacking Rafah. Today we have men, women and children dying with the pain of hunger. We have parents watching their children die helplessly before they're being killed. And such a deplorable attack on the World Central Kitchen, where Bravehearts, the 7 international Bravehearts, were killed in cold blood. And today Israel is exposed to the world, and the hypocritical stance of United Kingdom, Australia and other countries, today they feel the pain because their citizens are being killed. And let me tell you, this was an unprovoked attack where these individuals had just delivered hundreds of tons of aid and they were heading back to their base. And 3 cars were unprovokedly, struck by missile. And, you know, this is just an example. When we talk about hundreds of people dying, this is just an example. Again, let us repeat that there are over 33,000 killed and over 400 alone in West Bank. And when we say killed, we also need to stress on the thousands of people injured, because these critically injured people have no place to be, you know, receive the life-saving treatment because the entire healthcare system has been collapsed.
And as a clinician, yeah, I can only imagine the additional pain that you must feel knowing this. And I turn to you, Alex, because we talked there at the beginning in my introduction about this attack on an Iranian consulate building in Damascus. Why would Israel risk an all-out regional assault? What is the end game here?
I think we're going to probably move into another chapter in this war in Gaza. And the president of China said just a few days ago that the war of Israel in Gaza and the world's inability to stop it is a tragedy for humankind, and also a disgrace for our civilization. I mean, the UN is the highest institution in the world. They called for a ceasefire. Until now, the ceasefire is not implemented. what should be the implementation or what should be the body which should make Israel comply with this injunction. So the attacks on the different countries, like because you have Hezbollah in Lebanon, but they've been trying
to... Well, they didn't attack them in Lebanon. They attacked them in Syria.
Some attacks have been launched into South Lebanon. And now in Syria, they've attacked Iranian consulate, leading to death of some diplomats. Maybe Israel is trying to wage a wider war against all its enemy, but that will lead to a wider conflict in this world. We've already going through different wars and different conflicts around the globe. And after 6 months of this onslaught and killings in Gaza, the talks between America and the West and Israel should have reached something suitable for the people of Gaza.
And so
unfortunately,
far, Alex,
things are not going this direction. Maybe,
well, to say the least, we'll come back to some of your sentiments there. But just from a British perspective here, as I mentioned, British Foreign Secretary David Cameron has echoed the sentiments of his Australian, American and Canadian counterparts by demanding an urgent probe into the Israeli strike that killed 7 aid workers, as you heard there, in Gaza before. Volunteers with the World Central Kitchen were struck by Israeli drones when leaving the charity's warehouse in Deir al-Balah on Monday.
Turning to the situation in Israel and Gaza, the dreadful events of the last 2 days are a moment when we should mourn the loss of these brave humanitarian workers, including the 3 British citizens that tragically were killed. We should also send our condolences to their families, and our thoughts should be with them. I welcome what the Israeli Foreign Minister said yesterday to me about a full, urgent and transparent inquiry into how this dreadful event was allowed to happen, and we want to see that happen very, very quickly. I also welcome the fact that he spoke about much more aid getting into Gaza, up to 500 trucks a day. That is essential. We've been promised these things before, and this really needs to happen, including longer opening times at the vital crossing points. But of course, the extra aid won't work unless there is proper deconfliction, unless aid can be taken around Gaza and we avoid the dreadful incidents like we've seen in the last couple of days. That is vital, and Britain will be watching very closely to make sure that that happens.
David Cameron there, the British Foreign Secretary. Dr. Abbas, Israel first deflected blame. Then it said what happened was a grave mistake. But how could that have been when the convoy, as you mentioned earlier, was clearly marked and the coordinates were already shared with the Israeli occupation forces?
The place where these convoy was struck, it was not a conflict zone, as everyone knows about it. See, today Israel is clearly losing the media war. You know, all these decades, they thought if they had control over the media, you know, if they had stooges doing what they say, you know, the people are dumb to believe them. But today, the power of citizen voice has taken over the entire information war. And today, every citizen, me sitting back in India, I know the facts, I know the truth. Because come on, you know, we're educated people. I do not believe any of these investigations, because there are thousands of crimes committed by Israel just in the last 5 months, let alone the last few decades. And when they say that we're going to investigate, we're going to do a high-level investigation, but what comes out? Nothing but propaganda. When Israel says it was unintentional, why are they not apologizing? And I am so ashamed. I'm so, you know, so ashamed about the United States stand that today John Kirby, the White House National Communication and Security Advisor, says that there is no evidence that Israel has violated international humanitarian law. Well, do they think we are dumb, deaf and blind? This is absolutely deplorable. And very recently, today, America is losing the support of the Muslims. Like just yesterday, the annual iftar was cancelled because none of the Muslims wanted to accept the invitation. This is just the beginning, because Israel is clearly losing their ground in this ongoing genocide. We have to term this as genocide. Where is International Court of Justice? Where is United Nations Security Council? is Israel so powerful that they can, you know, insult the Security Council vote on immediate ceasefire? I don't understand. If it was another country like Yemen or Libya, they would have been invaded by
absolutely
now.
Absolutely nothing happens. And I saw Alex Ackerman there shaking his head. Now, we've seen the knock-on effect of what happened to these seven aid workers. And we've had 196 other recognized aid workers, especially and primarily Palestinians, be killed before. But this has touched a chord. It's really raised the public consciousness the way in which it happened, for example. But we're seeing here that it's had a knock-on effect where other charities are saying, listen, we cannot guarantee the safety of our staff. So unfortunately, we have to pause activities at the moment. Wasn't this the aim in the first place, if you were a cynical man, Alex?
I mean, it's really difficult to see what is really happening now in this police. First of all, the convoy, a lot of convoys have been stopped to get into Gaza. And I think many politicians have criticized the fact that the Israeli government basically doesn't allow the convoy to get in as quick as possible to allow food to get to the people and the medicine to get to people injured. Hospitals are completely run out of medicine.
That's if they're standing, actually.
Now, on top of that, what is a bit cynical as well, you see that the Western countries like the US just allow more equipment, more arms to be sold to Israel. We also have three British citizens who were killed. And I think today the Lib Dem leader was asking the government to stop selling arms to Israel. So you can see that for the last 6 months, these killings have been going on. And despite the talk between Americans, Foreign Secretary, and Israelis going down there mediating, things are not getting better. It's even getting worse. And America is feeding Israel with more arms and more equipment. As a result, Israel, even despite the UN call for a ceasefire, nothing has been happening
at all. And had that ceasefire come into operation, Alex, so many lives would have been saved already, even though it's already gone as bad as it is.
Exactly.
We'll be getting back to that discussion after this, because many of us are aware that on the last Friday of Ramadan, the annual Quds Day commemorations take place across the globe, calling for solidarity with the people of Palestine, something that's needed more than ever. We spoke to Raza Barak Ali, pro-Palestinian activist, who reminded us that it was not solely an Iranian event.
The last Friday of Ramadan, I believe. So yeah, I think it's an opportunity for people to show support, you know, on this day, you know, for the what's going on, for the people of Palestine. Opinion is changing, not just in the Islamic world. I think opinion is changing globally, where people are seeing, you know, what's going on in Palestine and Israel as not being, it's just one side. I think they're recognizing that, you know, what's going on by the IDF it is corrupt. And I think, you know, people who are sort of, you know, middle of the road are, you know, probably seeing things, well, not probably, they are seeing things differently, where in the past they, you know, wouldn't have an opinion either way. But, you know, now they're sort of seeing, you know, so they're probably sort of seeing that, you know, it's not an Iranian thing. It's not, again, my view is it's not an Iranian thing. Perhaps it started by the Iranians, but it's a Palestinian thing. It's a human thing now. And there have been protests every Saturday, every Sunday. There's always something going on. So in regards to, you know, our Quds Day, you know, if people are able to, you know, it's not a political movement. It's a human movement. We're showing support for the Palestinian people against, you know, what is being done to them by the Zionists and Israelis. So now I think absolutely, if you're free on Friday and there's something local to you in your city, then go show support.
Demonstrations continued across the UK, with tens of thousands taken to the streets of the British capital over the past weekend to demand the government do more to stop the bloodshed in Gaza. Our cameras were, of course, on hand to get a selection and views on why they've attended the march and what was at stake.
Well, I just think what's happening in Palestine is really, really ridiculous. And the world is just standing and watching them kill so many thousands, so many, I don't know, children, men, women. It's just not right. It's the injustices in this world is just ridiculous. And we need to show this. We need to show the world that this is what it is like.
You can't win a war like this. Like the idea that you know the argument from Israel that you're going to destroy Hamas. Hamas is an organization, but it's an ideology, and there are reasons why it was formed in the first place. And even if you destroy Hamas, you've destroyed millions of lives.
We're still protesting, as you can tell, against the ongoing genocide taking place in Gaza. We're not going to let up until it comes to an end. Listen to the ordinary people who are against this inhumane and cruel war and genocide.
People shouldn't vote for leaders who have failed us. Like, they haven't, you know, fought for justice or for peace. And why should we vote for them if they didn't come to help innocent people around the world who are dying?
It's all about people power. It's all about people power. We need to carry on protesting. We need to carry on marching. I think it will have an impact. It's having an impact.
I think we've seen that with the Galloway making it to the parliament, that Palestine became a stable in UK politics now. And I think the Labour, knowing that they're going into elections soon, they should take note of that and definitely change their position from Palestine ceasefire.
Well, let's get some thoughts on those developments within the moments we have left on this edition of Gaza Under Attack. Alex Ackerman and Dr. Zakaria Abbas are still with us. And I wanted to bring you back in here, Dr. Abbas, because, you know, we've seen the demonstrations taking place demanding respective governments do more to put pressure on Tel Aviv. Where you are there also Quds demonstrations expected at this time? I'd like to get that global perspective.
We are a land of India, as you know, Mahatma Gandhiji, who fought against the British invaders. You know, we are the ones who gained freedom through resistance. So we are the people who can relate to what's happening. But unfortunately, the global politics, the stand of India has been very neutral, and it is also not very satisfactory because of their multilateral connections. But yes, we do have people protesting. We have indoor events, and on social media, as you know, Indian citizens are very much active. And I'm very happy to let you know that India, being a multicultural society, we have Hindus, Christians, Muslims, and different religions. You know, a lot of our friends, not necessarily being Muslims, they've got to know the truth about Palestine. And that is what has happened this time. You know, last few decades, like you said, Iran has been doing Al-Quds Day. I have been participating as a child, but the world thought it was just a political movement. But today, every country is coming out on road. So Iran has proved its stand that what they started decades back, today, every country is following its footsteps. And the voices are uniting. It's no more about a Muslim issue. It is a global issue. And that is something very, welcoming. And India's stand is neutral. It can be better, but definitely we are with the people of Palestine.
Indeed, Alex, and we see that the individuals who have been mobilizing here are making a difference. What do you make of this no ceasefire, no vote movement in terms of what it could do for politics with an election expected this year?
I mean, what is interesting as well is that this year we will have election in the UK as well as in the US. And with 6 months going down the line and the evidence of what is happening, of the negotiations with no tangible results, people are still destroyed in Gaza. And even now, the aid workers, they prevented the lorries to come into Gaza, but now even the aid worker will venture to try to help sick, you know, people who are deprived of everything. The Israeli army is still targeting them because obviously they knew that this convoy is going for food, to distribute food to the populations who are obviously hungry and deprived and everything. But now, I think with the elections coming up, maybe things will change. Because from experience, if you look at in America, whenever we have Democrats in power, we tend to have more crises across the globe, wars across the globe. And America being the protector of Israel, for the last 6 months, if they are allies, but what have they done to make sure that things can change on the ground in Gaza? And nothing has really moved on. So hopefully the elections will be maybe what will bring the results and the changes which will be coming from the people after the elections will hopefully bring this war to an end and also move on to Palestinian having their own state to ensure
indeed,
that...
Indeed, because it's not just
exactly,
now, right?
Exactly. It's not just now. You're looking at a longer-term issue because, I mean, Palestine allow the territory to be divided into two, to have two states. But how on earth, for the last 40, 60, 70 years, Palestinians don't still have their own states?
Indeed. And I think we can both agree that that's been quite deliberate. Dr. Abbas, I touched on the fact, earlier that, you know, as a man of medicine, where your first oath is do no harm, to be watching what's gone down in real time, and recognizing that it's either munitions or malnutrition that may well kill you in Gaza. What are your reflections about where we are here? About a minute and a half or so, sir.
You know, our spirits are shattered, our hearts are broken. As a doctor, when we see so many doctors being killed, you know, we have hundreds of humanitarian workers, doctors killed in service. And, you know, when a hospital has a capacity of taking care of 100 patients, they're taking care of 1,000 patients in a day. You know, first of all, my heart goes out to all the martyrs, the doctors who have lost their lives, and immense respect for them and their families. And like I said, from a medical perspective, there are nearly 500,000 people who were at risk of famine by May. And today, if you say that Israel invaded Gaza because of Hamas, that's the biggest lie. If that was the reason, why are they cutting the humanitarian aid? There are thousands of trucks which are stuck at the border, and there are thousands of, you know, there are a lot of organizations who want to reach out to Gaza, but it's just not happening. Today, Israel wants to kill the population exactly like how Adolf Hitler did. You know, it's just ironical where when you feel the pain, you need to feel the pain of others, but it's completely the opposite. And as a doctor, I stand here helpless. And all I can say is I'm praying for them. And we still have hopes. This war against Gaza has united hearts. This is an era where we need to unite hearts to save mankind. And that's the only message I want to give on this platform.
Indeed. Some meaningful words there, of course, our guest. Always knowing that this is such a very difficult conversation for us to have, but yet here we are, and unfortunately that does it for us for today. Alex Ackerman and Dr. Zakaria Abbas were a very special guest, and our thanks to them and to you for being with us. Until next time, continue to keep Palestine in your hearts.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to criticize movies with religious or spiritual themes. One of those movies that we've started criticizing from a couple of episodes ago was called Celestine Prophecy, directed by Armand Mastroianni, produced in 2006. The whole story is revolving around the high school teacher who loses his job and decides to go to Peru looking for a manuscript, which leads him to a kind of a spiritual awakening. Well, for that, I've invited my friends, again, as the guest speakers in the studio, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Yasser, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the studio.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Again, shukran for having us.
Thank you very much. Before me asking you questions regarding this movie or how we can criticize it, in fact, or continue doing so, by picking up the questions from the last episodes onwards, let's take a short listen to a part of this movie, Celestine Prophecy, directed by Armand Mastroianni, and then we'll be back with the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Fingers together like this.
Okay.
Go ahead. You're going to look at the space between your fingers.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, who